Hallelujah. Today, as we celebrate our Lord and Savior, knowing that we celebrate through these Easter Sundays, and we're going to be getting closer in to Easter Sunday. And so as we do that, how appropriate this scripture is that we read every Sunday morning that falls right in to our Easter season that we have in representing our Lord and Savior. So today, if you would, across the building, those that are watching today, we do want to thank you for clicking in today. My prayer is there's something I can say to you along the way as we get into God's Word today. So let's read Galatians 2 and 20 as we read every Sunday morning. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. You may be seated today. It is good that we can be in the house of the Lord, and it is good that we can come together as a body of believers. It's something about coming together, uniting ourselves together as one. As I know that the Scriptures teaches that iron sharpens iron, and what that means is that when we give a word with one another and we encourage one another with the word, it sharpens you, it makes you stronger. And so I just want to thank the Lord today for each and every one, and I want to thank the Lord for those that are with us today. I received an encouraging word last week from a lady that came up to me and said, "Pastor, I just want you to know, I want to give you a word of encouragement that my friend had been dealing with the addiction of smoking, and she had been dealing with it for quite a long time." And she said, I sent her your prayer and fasting video that you had preached at church, and she got this video and said that she had not heard her from hadn't heard from her in a while, and so she was checking in on her. And so the Lord, through the prayer and fasting that I had preached, she literally started doing that prayer and fasting over the addiction that she had in smoking. And praise be to the Lamb of God. She told her that that was taken away. She no longer has the craving. She no longer is smoking anymore. And also told her that she didn't want to be on Facebook as much. And so to God be the glory, folks, for what the Lord has done. So I encourage you, I was encouraged to know that it's not about me. It's not about you. It's about what God does through you to encourage others. And that's what it's about. It's about encouraging one person at a time. Encouraging them, letting them know that Jesus Christ is the healer. He is the author, the finisher of their faith. He will be consistent. He will be persistent. He will seek after you as you seek after Him. And so I want to give God praise in the house today for what God is already going to do and what He's going to continue to do and what He's already done. So when you see things around, even in your local church, and you don't see things happening, I want you to know God is moving in our midst when you don't see it. Because it is never for us to see with our natural eyes, but it's to see with our heart. For faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So it's never designed for you and I to see everything from our eyes, but it's to see the eyes of Jesus through our hearts and lives as we become the servant and the disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to God, I do give God praise and glory that we become the tool, we become the instrument. We become what God uses us to reach the lost and to reach the kingdom, because we're doing kingdom work, folks, and that's what it's about, reaching those that need to be reached, reaching those that are unreachable. God can reach the unreachable. When you think they cannot be reached, when you think they cannot be healed, when they cannot be delivered, my friend, the devil is a liar. You can be saved, you can be delivered, you can be healed, and you can have the victory. And Jesus Christ is our victor, and He brings victory to our hearts and lives. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. I want you to know today that God is real. And He loves us because He is love. And He's wanting to give you the very best. He's not holding back on no one. He wants to give you all of what He has and more. If you have your Bibles today, I want you to go with me to the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, the 27th chapter, beginning with the 33rd verse, Matthew 27 and 33. For the next few weeks, as we get closer into Easter Sunday, I want to bring you in a little bit about crucifixion. I want to bring you in a little bit about what our Lord and Savior did and what He has done for us and how that He bled and died. And I want to take you now to a scene here a little bit, which the title of my message today is this: Gambling for the Garments of Christ. Gambling for the Garments of Christ. Matthew 27 and 33. And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of skull, they gave Him vinegar to drink mingled with gall. And when He had tasted thereof, He would not drink. And they crucified Him and parted His garments, casting lots that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. And they parted My garments among them, and upon My vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched Him there and set Him up over His head. His accusation, or the written word that was written over Him, was this: "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." And then were there two thieves crucified with Him, one on the right hand and another on the left. I want you to know today that the cross, where God did His best and man did His worst. Let me say it again. At the cross is where God did His best and man did His worst. Can you imagine as they begin to gamble for His clothing? As you could see, as Roman soldiers were there, and there He was at the cross, hanging on the cross, Christ and His righteousness, man and His rebellion was at this moment. Christ and His righteousness was facing people and facing those that day, and man and His rebellion spirit was there at the same day. Christ and His love. Man and His lawlessness. Christ and His love stood there, and man and His lawlessness. Soldiers gambling at the cross. Can you imagine this? Can you imagine Mary, the mother of Jesus, is weeping and crying, begging, oh, her son. Can you imagine? I cannot imagine. I couldn't imagine that my son would be on a cross. Can you imagine that your son would be on a cross? Can you imagine your daughter being on the cross? There was Mary, and there they were crucifying Jesus. And there we see those that were literally pitching out monies, gambling for the clothing of our Lord and Savior that they did not know, that they did not recognize, that they did not want to have anything to do with Him. As the people begin to scream, "Give us Barabbas." He was the one that was the ruthless stealer. The one was the one that was the crook. "Give us Barabbas. Crucify Jesus." These were the people that kept saying, but yet they found no fault. The king found no fault in Jesus. They could not see any fault, and he began to wash his hands. But I want you to know today, the man that stood on the cross is the Lord Jesus Christ, the victor, the one that had power, and the one that can be resurrected from the dead. Above them, Christ was paying for sin's debt. Above them, Christ was paying sin's debt, looking down. As Christ was looking down from the cross, they gambled for his garments. They didn't think nothing of him. But somebody that threatened them, that they felt threatened. It was something that they had to distinguish. They had to extinguish him because they didn't want him to be distinguished. They wanted to get rid of him. They wanted to crucify him. Why? Because he became a threat to society. He became a threat to the king. He became a threat to the Romans. And they wanted to do everything they could. My first point today is this. They were reckless. And they're reckless with redemption. They were reckless with redemption. They were near Jesus but far from Him. Are we near Jesus today? Spiritually, are we far from Him spiritually today? They were physically near Him, but yet was far from Him because they really did not know in actuality who they were really crucifying. Yes, they saw Him do miracles. Yes, they saw Him do great and mighty things, but they really did not know who they were crucifying. He could have touched Him, but they ignored Him. They could have trusted Him, but treated Him shamefully. Listen, they knew the facts, but ignored their implications. They knew of all the great and mighty things that He had done, but still they ignored Him. They will always be those who are reckless with redemption. Let me say it again. There will always be those who are reckless with their redemption. Who know about God loves but continues to be lost. Who know about Christ and the sacrifice but continues in sin. Who know about God's Word but continues in wickedness. There are people today that know a little bit about Jesus, but they're not a servant of Jesus. They're not a disciple of Jesus. Yeah, I've heard it when I was in church when I was a little boy or a little girl. Well, yeah, I've heard it through my grandmother. I heard it through my daddy. I heard it through this. I heard it through that. But yet have not made the profession of faith, not accepting Jesus in their heart and life. They know Him from a distance, but they don't know Him personally. And today we are challenged that we are to know Him personally as we see the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior, that He bled and died. He died on a cross. He was in the grave. He went through death, hell, and the grave. He arose again on the third day. He is seated with the right hand of the Father, and therefore we have victory because Jesus has gone through death, hell, and the grave, and therefore we can live forevermore. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Even these fulfills the scripture in Psalms 22 and 16. For dogs have compassed me. The assembling of the wicked have enclosed me. They've pierced my hands and my feet. The psalmist writes as he gives a vivid description in the Old Testament of what Jesus was going through and what He would go through as they begin to look at Him as just a piece of trash that's on the cross. My second point today is this. They were occupied only with the outward things. They were occupied only with the outward things. They didn't care about knowing Him personally. They didn't care about knowing Jesus Christ, how that He was blind, He was bled and He bled and died, and how He was dying on the cross. They didn't care. They wanted the clothes of Christ, but not Him. They wanted everything on the outside, but not what was on in the inside. They were glad to have His clothes, but not His cross. They were glad to have His garments, but not His grief. They were glad to have His robe, but not His rejection. You see, many occupy with things about Christ, but not with Him. There are people that may talk about Christ, but do you know Him personally? Do you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Everybody today in society will say, yes, I'm a Christian. I know about Christianity. But do you know Jesus Christ? Have you accepted Him as Lord and Savior in your life? Have you made that profession of faith to know that Jesus has saved you from a world of sin and that He has redeemed you and brought you to His marvelous light? Because when we accept Jesus Christ into our heart and life, we now become salt and light to the world. Salt is a saving type of substance. As you put salt on your food, it tastes real well, but salt also is a healing agent that can heal. And also is a salt is a curing agent. It will cure. And I want you to know we are the salt. We are light to a world. And therefore, it's not time for us to look on the outward appearance as the Roman soldiers and everybody else was looking about the outside. We need to look from the outside in and look and see what God is doing in a heart of man and woman and child. We need to take inventory and see what He really died for, that He died for our sins, that we will receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior in our hearts and in our lives. Hallelujah. 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 Many will occupy with things about Christ, but not with Him. Rituals, but not the Redeemer. Legalism, but not the Lord. Religious works, but not the Word. Service, but not the Savior. They are close to the truth, but misses it. They are active in church, but not alive in Christ. Folks, it's time for us to take inventory in our hearts and in our lives. You can be in a church, but you can be dead. You can do the service, but not know Christ personally. You can do the things, but not know Him in a mighty way. And all we're doing is going through just as the Romans did. Soldiers,
We're doing just as they are doing. We're gambling of the cloth that's on Jesus. We're worried about what's on the outer appearance when we need to be taking inventory of our heart individually. That's why the Bible says for us to work on our salvation in fear and trembling. You can't serve me for me, and I can't serve for you, but we must serve one another and serve each other to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Listen. People get so close to the truth, but they don't miss it. But they miss it. They get so close to the truth, but they miss it. The Bible clearly lets us know they found no fault in Jesus. No fault in Jesus was found. Even the governor says there's no fault found in Jesus in those days. His wife, the Lord began to deal with her in a dream. And guess what? She ignored it. She ignored everything. And guess what? The husband washed his hands and said, I wash my hands from this. God was still dealing and letting people know that He was the Savior of the world, that He was the Son of God. He was the Son of Man. And yet that got pushed aside. And if we're not careful, we will push Jesus aside. Therefore, we must embrace the cross and know that the cross is the salvation for my life, your life, and the cross is the one that's going to lift us and bring us to where we need to be, not where we want to go. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, they can be active in the church, but not alive in Christ. My third point today, they were careless with the clothes of Christ. They were careless with the clothes of Christ. Are we clothed in the blood of the Lamb of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you clothed in the blood of the Lamb of the Lord Jesus Christ? The blood that was shed from Calvary's cross. Are you wrapped around His blood? Are you wrapped around His forgiveness? Are you wrapped around the love that He gave unto you unconditionally? He could have called 10,000 angels down to bring Him off the cross, but He crucified Himself to the cross that you and I may have victory and that we may have life and have it more abundantly. God was man's first clother. God was man's first clother. Adam was clothed by God after the fall. Genesis 3:21 says, unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. God was still going to make a way. Even because of sin in this world of Adam and Eve, God was making a way because He was preparing His Son, Jesus Christ. He was going to send the ultimate sacrifice. The one and only sacrifice was going to be sent even after Adam and Eve sinned. The second Adam was clothed by sinful men at the cross. Who is the second Adam? Jesus Christ is the second Adam. Without Christ, we are clothed in rags. Listen to me today. Without Christ, we are clothed in rags. Nothing but filthy rags. Isaiah 64:6 says this. But we are all as unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Let me go on. New clothes are provided to those who trust Christ Jesus. who trust Christ Jesus. Isaiah 61 and 10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he hath, look, he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. This is why the garments are so important, folks. I want you to know, to be clothed with the Lord Jesus Christ is to be clothed with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, as a bride adoreth herself with her jewels. So when you thought, as the Romans thought, and everybody thought that the cloth didn't amount to anything, Jesus was already clothing you and I on the cross. We were already clothed on the cross because of the garment. God has given us salvation. That's why you and I must look to the cross. Every one of us must come to the foot of the cross, including your pastor. We all must come to the foot of the cross because we're clothed. We are clothed with righteousness. We're clothed with garments of salvation, for he has saved us. He has delivered us. He has healed us. He has given us victory, and that's why we must look to the cross. The cross goes before us. Hallelujah! The cross goes before us that we can be who we are today. The garments of salvation, the robe of righteousness. It is because of Jesus on the cross that we have the garment of salvation. It is because of Jesus on the cross we have the robe of righteousness. Listen, I want you to know today in my closing, don't gamble with eternal issues. Don't gamble with eternal issues. This is a serious matter that I want you to know today. Don't play around with God. Know that if God is speaking to you, if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you and is impressing you to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and you've never made a profession of faith, now is that time, the Bible says, if you harden not your heart. To accept Jesus is to know Him, and to know Him is to make Him known. Don't gamble with eternal issues. Without Jesus, you can't win. You cannot win. You cannot get into heaven. Hallelujah. John 14 and 6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, listen, no man comes to the Father except by me. There's no other way but to go through the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other way but to get to the cross. You must go through the cross. You must fall to the cross and let the cross begin to crucify you, that the flesh will be crucified, then that Jesus Christ would be resurrected in your heart and in your life. Because it's no longer about you, it's no longer about me, but it's about what Jesus Christ is doing in me. Because the old flesh is nothing but sinful desire, but I must crucify the body, I must crucify the mind, I must crucify the spirit and come under the subjection of God so that I will understand His divine nature as He is God, and that what He's wanting to do is to make me where I need to be. Not where I want to go. Trusting Him, you can't lose. Without Jesus, you can't win. Faith in Christ makes heaven sure. Your faith in Christ makes heaven sure. We must face up to our sins. Face up to your sins. Put them under the blood. Go to the cross. If you've got to go to the cross every day, Lay the burdens, lay the care. Jesus cares for you. He says, yoke up with me. My yoke is easy. My burdens is low. And he says, if you'll yoke up with me and I'm with you, I will make things better in your life. Listen, receive Christ by faith. And listen, be sure of heaven. Receive Christ by faith and be sure of heaven. Stand with me across the building today. Listen. When others wanted to gamble around and play around with Jesus on the cross, listen, they found out eventually that it wasn't a playing matter. They eventually found out who Jesus really was. The Bible lets us know that the Roman soldier stood there. The centurion soldier stood there and shook like a leaf because he said, surely this is the Son of God. Listen, I want you to know today, it is not for us to be passive. It's not for us to be nonchalant with our walk and our faith in Christ Jesus. It's not for us to gamble around with our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not for us to put one foot in and one foot out. It's not for us to put on the whole armor of God on Sunday morning and take it off when we walk out the door from Monday. God is looking for soldiers. He's looking for people that are sold out. He is looking for people that are wrapped in His righteousness robe and His salvation of garment. He's looking for people that are just wrapped up, tied up, and tangled up in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is looking for people that's going to be sold out and dedicated. That's not looking to the left, not looking to the right, not looking at people here and people there, and not looking at everything else that's going around. Listen, people's going to be what they're going to be. People's going to say what they want to say, do what they want to do, go where they want to go, be what they want to be. But where do you stand in front of the foot of the cross with the garment of salvation, with the robe of righteousness? Is that laid upon you at the foot of the cross? For he says, you can receive it. Easily is given, freely received. You can receive the salvation that you need. Hallelujah. Listen, you don't have to go around with your head down. You can hold your head up high, give the world a smile, and let them know that you know who your God is. You know who your deliverer is. You know who your healer is. If He's healed you before, He can heal you again. If He saved you once, He can save you again. Don't underestimate what God can do. God wants to do great and mighty things. Oh, but what about this, Pastor? What about that? Don't worry about what about this, what about that. Oh, we're small. Don't worry about that, we're small. Don't worry about it. We live in a world with a God, with a big God. We'll put excuses on everything of why we're this, why we're that. Why ain't this happening? Why? How about let's get to the foot of the cross and let's lay it on the cross and say, Jesus, you see our hearts. You know our needs. You know what we need. You know what I need. And Jesus says, if you will ask, you will receive. And listen, we're at that time and moment that God is just saying, I'm here. I'm here. But we've just got to ask. And guess what? We've got to receive. We've got to receive, folks. That's why every one of us today, Listen, God loves every one of us. He doesn't want none of us to perish, but He wants us to have everlasting life. He wants us to have everlasting life. And while we're alive and while we got breath in our bodies, we must work for the King of Kings. We must work. Listen, the Bible says the fields, hallelujah, the fields are ripe. The fields are ready. Laborers are few. But who will go? Who will go and serve? Who will go and serve? Who will stand for the truth? Who will stand for what is right? You see, that's what Jesus is asking us today. Are you compromising? Are you gambling with your life? Are you gambling with your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Listen, it's not time for us to gamble and sell out. It's time for us to sell out to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because God got a work for all of us. God has a work for you. God has a work for me. God has a work for you. God wants you to reach this kingdom. And listen, you can't do it on your own. I can't do it on my own. And you will not do it by yourself. But we'll do it together. We'll do it together. And we can reach this kingdom one by one. One by one. One by one. Each one reach one. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I want to pray today.